Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
People to destroy the frogs from thee and thy house, that they may remain in the river only. And he said, that's Pharaoh said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. As I was reading and preparing this message, I thought, this is one of the most stupid answers that you'll ever find in this book or anywhere else. The question was, when do you want these frogs to go from your land? Tomorrow. Why not now? Why do you want to sleep with these toads one more night? Now that, you know, stupid goes way back. I couldn't get over it. I said, I got to preach that somewhere, somehow. So the Lord gave it to me. Found here in verse number 10, when Pharaoh was asked, when do you want the frogs to leave your country? And he said, tomorrow. Why would anyone in their right mind want to spend one more night in this kind of misery? Misery. Why not now, Pharaoh? Why not now? Get rid of those frogs. He had the opportunity to get rid of the frogs right then and there. All he had to say was, right now, get those things out of here. The Lord would have done what Moses asked him to do, but he had to spend one more night in misery. I still don't understand that, because the Bible doesn't explain why he made that, why he answered that question that way, but I think it's answered in the process of Pharaoh's hardened heart. Biblical history tells us a little bit about these frogs. It says they were large frogs, much like our toad frogs today, and they made a croaking sound constantly. I'm sure the people were really upset with Pharaoh, don't you think? Thanks a lot, boss. One more night with those loathsome, stinking, croaking frogs. And the Bible says they were everywhere. Everywhere. The grounds were full of frogs. The house was full of frogs. They were in the kitchen. They were in the food. They were in the bed. They were everywhere. Can you imagine sleeping with toad frogs all over you? Yeah, that's what they got. And even after the plague was over, the Bible said they gathered the frogs together in heaps and they stank. Now, the only thing worse than having a frog in your bed is the stink of that frog. Can you smell it? I thought so. The reason they couldn't destroy the frogs was because the frog was one of Egypt's gods. So the Egyptians didn't try to destroy them themselves. They didn't want to hurt the frogs because the frogs were a god to them. There's another act of stupidity. You see, evil, when it works into your life, as it did in Pharaoh's life, has no limitations. The reasoning in your mind and your heart leaves when you choose to continue to live with the frogs. The frogs now represent sin. God chose to exhibit his power over the false gods of Egypt. Egypt had a lot of false gods. And every one of these plagues, there's a miracle attached to them that God performed. And every one of them was to show Pharaoh and the Egyptians that God, Jehovah God, had more power than all of their gods. And if you study every one of these plagues, you will find that in these plagues, there are things that Egypt worshiped. And God destroyed them, showed his power. And the reason I wanted to kind of get this picture in your mind is because we have the same spirit in the world today. I heard you say amen under your breath. It wasn't loud, but I got it. You see, they would rather spend another night, another day, in sin, they'd rather put off their salvation till tomorrow. What does that sound like? That sounds like the reasoning of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. I'm willing to live with these frogs. I'm willing to live with this sin until tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow I'll do better. Maybe tomorrow I'll accept the Lord. Maybe tomorrow I'll stop living with these frogs, the sin that's in their lives. But sin can have such a depth to it, can go so far deep into a person's soul that just like Egypt, with the frogs that overrun them, the world and the apostate church and the apostate people that make up the church are overrun with sin. They've gone so deep in sin, they are enjoying sin and would rather have another night with the frogs. Rather have another night of sin in their life, all the while hoping that they get a chance tomorrow. How sad. Now, this is kind of expected by those who are in the world and they walk in the kingdom of darkness. We expect that. The Bible tells us that we see the sin. We see the frogs in the world that people are continually living with. We see that sin. And we kind of expect that. We don't like it. We don't want it to happen to them. We want them to get saved. But they have accepted that place of sin in their lives. So we expect that from the world and those who walk in the kingdom of darkness. But what about those who claim to be a part of the true church of Jesus Christ and are still wanting one more night with the frogs? One more night of sin. And how easy does the world make it today? The kingdom of darkness is closing in on a world that has accepted anything and everything. And the sad part about it, it's like a Trojan horse in many churches today. The frogs are creeping in. Paul begins to tell us about this sin. He relates to us about the frogs in not so many words, but what he said. He gives us a sorrowful picture of the apostate church and the apostate people that make up the church. You see, every church is made up of people. I told a fellow one time in a conversation about the church, I said, there's two things the church needs. Saved people and saved wallets. Come on. You can't operate a church without money. If we don't pay these light bills, you know what's going to happen? You'll be sitting in the darkness and the air conditioning won't work. Shelly's okay with that. She comes in here cold, she wraps up, and she leaves cold. But we got her a big blanket now. Paul begins to tell us about this. He begins in Romans chapter 1. And he begins with verse 21. I'm not going to go there and read it, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about what it says. And when you get a chance, you go home and read it. Romans chapter 1. He speaks of those who once knew God. Verse 21 talks about those who once knew God, but still did not glorify Him. That puts a light on a lot of people's lives who are sitting in church today who know about God but refuse to glorify Him. In other words, refusing to glorify Him is a refusal to recognize God in His rightful position. God the Father, the Creator, the Giver. No, you can't glorify God when you're living with the frogs. You can't glorify God when you're living with sin in your life. He speaks of those who knew God but did not glorify Him. And then he says this, they were not thankful. Again in verse 21. They were foolish in their heart. What you are on the outside cannot change the inside. But what you are on the inside can change the outside. The Egyptians could not get rid of the frogs because it was a god to them. So on the outside, they could not change anything. But God wants us to get something on the inside. I think it was Brother Swaggart that made that song, or at least sung it. Working on the inside, changing that on the outside. You see, that's the way it works. It has to be birthed into your spirit. And the only way that can happen is for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It has to be birthed in your spirit on the inside, and then the outside changes without some preacher telling you how to dress or telling you how to wear your hair, telling you when you can buy a house or a car or whatever it is. No, something happens on the inside that causes the outside to be changed. And the Bible refers to it this way. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old man dies away. A new man takes over. The new man in Christ. So you can't change your outside to get ready to please God. But you can change your inside that will move your outside into the presence and begin to glorify God. They were not thankful, foolish in their hearts. Verse 22. They professed themselves to be wise but became fools. I looked at that word became. And you know what that is? That's a process. It's a process. It's just a little fox that begins in a person's life, but it destroys the entire vine. It destroys the vine because it destroys the root of the vine. And that's what sin does. The sin, the frogs in people's lives that they want to live with constantly and continually and in a process of time. You see, it starts out as a little thing, and you say, God understands. Huh. Oh, how many times I've heard people who want to continue in their sin, God knows my heart. Every time I hear that, I tell them, you're right. Yeah, God knows your heart. I don't judge your heart, but now that you're on that subject, let me refresh your memory of what the Bible says. God knows the inside of a man and a woman. We look on the outside, God looks on the inside. So that means he knows our heart. And if our heart is to, a desire of our heart is to serve him, then what's inside of us is going to change what's outside of us. Never fails. They became fools, he said. They professed themselves to be wise, but they became fools. And then they changed. Here's a very important part of these verses. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wow. Sin does that. A sinner changes a uncorruptible God into one that is corruptible. That's what happens when you get all these other gods in your life. These other gods are little sins that help you continue to sin. Egypt had a bunch of them. Frogs were just one of them. Today, it's no different. People have a lot of little gods that they've turned to and closed out the one true God that is not corruptible. So why would they do that? I believe the Bible gives us the answer to that, so that they can spend one more night with the frogs. Spend one more night in sin, one more day in sin, all the while hoping that tomorrow they can change. But as Pharaoh's heart was hardened from every one of these plagues that comes, every one of these miracles, God hardened his heart. The reason God hardened his heart, because God already knew his heart. Huh? God knew Pharaoh's heart. And don't misunderstand this. God knows our heart. And when he says, I'll give you the desire of your heart, if you're living in sin, that's just what you're going to get. Because you've closed out the uncorruptible God. Sin. They can spend one more night in sin. You see, when you change the nature of God's creation, you become the greatest fool of all. Now, here's the results of apostasy. Now, this that I'm talking about goes on in the apostate heart of an individual, not only in a congregation, not only in a denomination or a movement. It first has to take place inside of your heart. And that apostate condition has to be in an individual's heart. They choose. See, everybody makes a choice. The devil can't make you do anything. You have to choose to do what you do. You have to choose sin over evil, or evil over what God has done for you in your life. Sin and evil governs your life. You have to make that choice. You choose that instead of salvation. You choose that instead of eternal life. You choose that instead of the blessings of God. And the Bible says when you do that, you change the glory of the uncorruptible God. I remember in a conversation, somebody asked me one time, why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? I said, well, it was perfectly given to us in the Bible. I said, they changed the nature of man. The greatest sin against God is to change the nature which God has created into something that's corruptible.
Amen.
Ooh. Nobody likes to hear that, but there's the truth. I wouldn't tell it to you if it wasn't in the Word. He said they changed the uncorruptible God into a corruptible God that was made like unto man. In other words, they had a man set in their mind that they were going to change what God created into something that God hates.
That's right.
Ooh. Yeah, bah, 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 bah. Now here's the results of apostasy. And this is probably the saddest and lowest position mankind can sink into sin. Verse 24, the first part of it says, God gave them up. Oh, my Lord, do you know how strong a voice that is from God? Do you know what happens when God gives you up? When God gives you up, first of all, you will no longer feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit when you sin. He said, I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. No longer feeling the Spirit. But you continue in your sin. You close out God in your life. And when you do that, you're in a position where God gives you up. Now, when you get saved, a lot of friends are going to give you up. That don't amount to nothing. You don't have to change your friends when you get saved. Don't worry, they're going to change against you. But when God gives you up, and see, here's the message the world doesn't want to hear. Here's the message that those who are lost do not want to hear. When God gives you up, you will continue to live in your sin and close out God, and you will justify your actions. But your justification is of your own making. It's a self-justification that makes you feel all right within yourself. And all the while, the Bible says God has given you up. How long does it take a person to live in sin before God gives them up? Well, we don't have the time on that, but here's what the Word says. He said, my spirit will not always strive with men. And that can have a dual meaning, but here's the basics for the individual who's a sinner. King David, he sinned before God, and in his repentance for what he had done, part of his prayer was this, Lord, do whatever you have to do to me. I put myself in your hands, but please, God, don't take your spirit from me. Because when the Spirit of God is gone from you, and God gives you up, brother, you're in trouble. You see, it's a self-justification, and God will not honor it. As Pharaoh did 1,491 years before Christ, the sinner who rejects Jesus Christ today in 2025 after the death of Christ is still wanting to have one more night with the frogs. See, man's nature hasn't changed. The decision has to be made. Pharaoh made some bad decisions. A lot of people today are making the same bad decisions. The sinner who rejects Jesus is the same sinner that rejected the cross back in Pharaoh's time. Even though there was no cross at that time, it was a symbol of that which was to come, a cross of salvation. Pharaoh and the Egyptians didn't choose to get rid of the frogs. They wanted one more night with the frogs. One more night of sin is worse than living with the frogs. Huh. The frogs finally left, but sin doesn't leave until you come to the cross and know Jesus Christ. When it comes to salvation, God is the God of today, not tomorrow. Oh, I remember an old song years ago that said, "Tomorrow never comes." And I think the basis of it was somebody had promised me they were going to marry me tomorrow, but tomorrow never came. Well, you may promise God that you're going to get saved tomorrow, but your tomorrow may not come. Because if your tomorrow comes and you're still in the same shape you're in, you're going to want another tomorrow and another one and another one and another one. It pierces the heart. And the heart is a reflection of whatever person is. It's not what we see on the outside of a person or what they do on the outside of a person. It's what God sees on the inside that drives people to sin. Huh? He takes away that conviction. And then what do you have left when you don't have God? Satan. What's left after God? Nothing. Paul said, if of this world you have hope only, then you are of most men or people most miserable. People who don't know Jesus Christ do not realize how miserable they are. Until it comes time for them to face judgment. Until it becomes time where whatever it may be that enters into their body or their life threatens them, then they want prayer. And my prayer is not going to do you any good if that's not right in your heart. Yeah. See, the Bible tells us to pray for one another. We do the praying, He does the judging. Our prayer is for the lost souls and the love that we have for individuals and people. But that can't change a person. That person you're praying for has to make a choice to receive God and the prayer that you give for them, that they might change their life. And not be reflective in what they're doing for themselves. God is the God of today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not this afternoon. Right now.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. There goes my fears.
Here comes my Lord and friend to drive me.